Paul, welcome to With the Wind, Science Revealed. Today's episode is an interview with Danielle Baker. She is a hospice and palliative care nurse for the past 20 years, coerced to take the COVID jab and had resulting disability and suffering that is immense. We're going to discuss how she was treated after the injury as well. Dee Dee Hoover talks to her mom to mom at the end, and wow, it's powerful. Enjoy the show. From the Heart today is about God. It's about your higher power, our higher power. You know, we're not what we do. Life can be challenging, but your friends, your accomplishments, your popularity, that doesn't really define us. It doesn't define me. What people say about us, that shouldn't define us either. I just need to remember that I'm a child of God and allow the blessings to flow. You know, when I lost my licenses, I'm now putting a plural there, Oregon yanked my license, we're fighting that, Washington just rubber stamped that, and now I'm dealing with Hawaii. That took me pretty low. And I've been able, thankfully, to come out of that. It's been an opportunity to really get humble, listen, and become aware that actually all those things aren't what's important. There is such a bigger thing that we are all called to do, to become a part of. And that's part of what this show is about. And that's part of this opportunity we have to converse together here. So join us. We can do this. Welcome, Danielle Baker. You are an RN. You've been in the specialty that I admire more than anything, and that's hospice and palliative care. I've found that those of you who work in that field have the biggest hearts.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We have always said you don't stay in it unless you have the hospice heart. And when you do, you don't leave it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we might touch on that more. You have a story to share, and I thank you so much for being willing to come on this show and share your story. But before we get into your story, which in a nutshell was in June of 2021, you took the Pfizer vaccine, and within 2.5 weeks, your life changed. But before we get into that part, maybe share with us a little bit about your life and what it was like, you know, prior to that.
Absolutely. I had, our family was so very active. I had met the love of my life in 2019. I had lost around, I think, 160 pounds and embraced an active lifestyle. We met at our work. Both of us contracted and brought a blended family together. I had a son and he had a daughter. And we were always busy. Every weekend we were doing something, whether it was hiking or primitive camping. We fished, hunted, kayaked, just always active because we wanted to instill that into our children, active lifestyle. We had them enrolled in sports, and I was the soccer mom, and my husband coached. So we were always doing something.
Yeah, thank you for the pictures you sent. I saw that. You were very active, fishing, hunting, sports, climbing, hiking, beautiful family. Wow, and By the way, what led you to go into hospice?
I worked in a hospital on a women's oncology floor. I had always known I wanted to go into health care. And when I did my preceptorship on the oncology floor, I fell in love with it. But while I worked there, I noticed so many people felt they didn't have a choice in their care. They were so far advanced in cancer, and the only script that they heard was, you need more and more chemo, more radiation. And I sat at the bedside of so many women just crying, not knowing what to do. I developed the love and the idea of autonomy and having the options presented in a clear and transparent manner, and letting them make a choice in how they wanted their care to go. So that's naturally led me into hospice care.
Wow. Well, no doubt you've been a blessing to so many. I know a couple of hospice nurses, and they share how at the end of life, there's nothing more genuine than the communication that goes on at that moment in your life. And you've been a part of that for, I imagine, hundreds of people.
It is such an honor to be involved at the end of life and to be able to take the time and sit down and present options. And I always say, my job is to give you options. It is not to steer your ship. I will help you and support whatever decisions that you make, because it is not my journey, it is their journey.
Oh, that's beautiful. So I imagine your speech was a little different prior to June of 2021.
Completely normal.
Yeah.
I didn't have any issues with word finding. I didn't stutter over myself. I was normal.
Yeah. You're beautiful nonetheless. You just see the beauty coming through. So let's talk about what led up to you having to get a COVID vaccine.
In 2020, at the end in January of 21, they rolled out the shot for healthcare workers and facility patients. I knew at that time, with my rudimentary understanding of how medicine passes through the FDA, that the speed and the lack of study was extremely scary to me. So I didn't want to take it. I felt I would take the watch and wait approach. As the year 2021 went forward, I not just me, but our whole company started receiving emails encouraging the shot. They continued to become more aggressive, coming more often, always talking about the safety and effectiveness of it. In May, April or May of 2021, we got an email from my former employer that stated that we had to have the shot series started or completed by July in order to retain our benefit of what I refer to as a COVID safety net. If we were working and we contracted COVID, or if we got the shot and had ill effects from it, then they covered our time off for recovery. If you didn't have it done by July, that was no longer a benefit that would be offered to you. Mm. In addition to that, they began segregating the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. So it was quite clear who took it and who didn't, offering incentives up to $20,000 to take the shot. In addition to it, we knew that in July it would be mandated in order to continue our career at hospice. I had a long conversation with my husband. I carried the insurance for our family, and we needed my income. We have two high functioning special needs children who needed support as well. So I opted to move forward with it under the premise that if something happened, I would be supported by my employer.
Hmm. That is a huge coercive force. 20,000 bonus. You got your job on the line. You're trying to support your family. I completely understand. I've had many friends and patients in my practice when I was still practicing who made the same tough choice because they didn't see how they could move forward to support their families, et cetera, right? Wow. Well, go ahead and tell us what happened.
I began the series, and my first one was June the 4th of 2021, and my second was June the 26th of 2021. On the second injection, I had a fall that same day within 12 hours of getting it. I had pain in the same arm I was injected in that went up and to my face and down my arm. I knew something was wrong. I didn't go to seek help until the next day when the symptoms continued to get worse. By the time I went into the ER, I was screaming in pain just to get on the gurney to be examined. That was the first time that I thought it could be related to the injection, just not in the way it turned out to be. I thought it was injected into the wrong area, and that's what caused it. Nonetheless, I asked that physician assistant in the ER if it could be related to the injection, and I, of course, got an immediate no. I was sent to X-ray, and I was discharged within 30 minutes without any answers of what was going on.
Wow. Whereabouts in your body was the pain?
It started in my upper arm, but it went into my shoulder, up into my face, and down into my arm. I had sensory issues with that as well. We did go, my husband's a OT, an occupational therapist, and he tried to work on my arm after the discharge from the ER, and he couldn't because it was so much pain. So he took me to an ortho clinic the next day. The ortho doctor came and pulled my X-ray from the ER and showed us that I actually had a separation in my AC joint. But my symptoms were still not equal to normal presentation. They were so severe. He sent us back to the ER to have a neck CT scan that came back clear. So we thought we were just dealing with the separation of my joint.
Yeah. So that was your shoulder joint that had a separation, kind of like a dislocation, I suppose.
Exactly. And
the ortho, were they able to put your shoulder back in place?
I didn't need that. The separation wasn't that severe. Ironically, when he pulled up the X-ray from the previous ER visit, there was a huge arrow pointing to the separation. And that ER doctor from the first visit still told us nothing was wrong.
Probably picked up when it was officially read by the radiologist, I'm guessing.
I don't know. I wish that he would have listened to me. I don't know that it would have changed the outcome, but I just can't help but feel, because I asked about the shot, that I was brushed off.
maybe. That happens way too often. So you had the fall, and I suppose there was this thought that, well, maybe it was just the fall and you hurt your shoulder, so maybe it was just related to the fall. But things clearly progressed. What then happened?
I wasn't getting better. I was having an increase in the numbness, tingling, and pain in my arm. It all came to a head about July the 17th, about 18 to 20 days after. We were riding in the car, and I had a tremendous amount of back pain between my shoulder blades, and it was something that felt like a kidney stone, but higher up. From that, I began to have progression of my symptoms over the next 4 days. It moved from my arm into my right leg, over to the left leg, and up into my left arm. Sensory issues, the pain, and it affected my coordination, my ability to walk. And by day four, I was basically wheelchair bound.
Wow. Well, clearly that's not related to the fall.
No, not at all.
At this point, it's pretty clear something happened. How did the doctors in the hospital deal with this? Was anybody willing to say that this was related to the vaccine or the shot?
Yes. So I, being stubborn, I kept telling my husband, like, it was surreal. Like, am I making this up in my mind? How could this be happening? And I refused to go to the ER again. I waited for an outpatient appointment with my ortho. He sent me to a spine doctor. They ordered an outpatient MRI a week later. When I got it, it showed demyelination and C3 through C7. Mm. I talked with my cousin's wife, who was a neuro nurse practitioner, and he took me to the ER for admission under her practice. In the ER visit, we had a doctor, the ER doctor, came in and sat down with us, and you could just tell he himself was distressed. And he told us that I had what he thought was transverse myelitis from the shot. He felt the shot caused my body to attack my spinal cord, similarly to MS. One of the interesting things that he told us was his sister was involved years ago developing the mRNA technology. And he said that he had conversations with her prior to us, and that he was sorry because it was never meant to be used in this manner.
Wow. That's powerful information, direct from a physician who had a direct connection. Wow.
Absolutely. And he's the first one that documented clearly the connection.
Yeah. I believe, and you've probably researched this and may know, but I think transverse myelitis is listed as one of the potential side effects from that Pfizer shot in their, I think they had that in their information, right?
Yes, I believe they did. When I was hospitalized, I went down the Google rabbit hole and I didn't find much about it except for the initial Pfizer trials were stopped because of this exact reason, and they found a reason to dismiss anyone that came down with transverse myelitis as a different cause. Yeah. I don't think that it is officially recognized by the FDA, though, as a expected side effect.
Yeah. It's tragic that the very people who are doing these trials and supposed to report what they find will play games with the data and discard people who aren't going to help their cause for bringing this product to market. And then, and I remember early on when we started seeing people having, you know, a lot of shaking and obvious neurological things. And then people would discredit that and make fun of it. And it's like, okay, now we have people dropping dead on the playing fields, you know, and you can't say they're faking death. I mean, it's just ludicrous. For folks who don't understand transverse myelitis and what you were talking about, demyelination, myelin is the sheath around the nerve. And without it, the nerves don't connect. They don't transmit efficiently. And this has affected, it seems, a lot of your body, right?
Yes. I am constantly spasming. The signals are interrupted, and with my walking, bounce, coordination, we don't necessarily know that my speech is related to that, but they believe it's related to the vaccination in some manner. We just don't know what.
Yeah. Well, if nerves aren't connecting efficiently, processing is going to be difficult. And God bless you. You work so hard to communicate and you do it so beautifully. And I know this must be such a huge effort. So thank you for that. Now, I'm just curious, the proper process in medicine when we have a clear cause and effect. I mean, you took this shot and you had a bad outcome. And so what we're supposed to do as doctors is report that to VAERS.
the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. What was your experience with that?
It was never reported. The day after I was discharged from the hospital, I kind of thought through the whole hospitalization, and I realized that nobody asked what vaccination I was given, what my lot numbers or anything. So that clued me in that it was never reported. And I had no idea of the VAERS reporting system until I was hospitalized. It's not something they teach in nursing school. And I would give flu shots and to my hospice patients, but never had a reason to know about it. So when I did find out about it, I did look and there wasn't anything reported on my behalf. So I did submit a report in addition to reporting to MedWatch from the FDA. I didn't follow up on anything, but I was asked just a couple months ago to look for some follow-up, and my report is gone from there. I disappeared, nowhere to be found. I reached out to one of the nurses that was so caring on the floor that took care of me, and I asked her about VAERS and the administration and the reporting system, and she told me she knew nothing of VAERS, that they never gave them any directive, and nothing was reported on my behalf that she knew of. So I clarified and collaborated my suspicion that it did not take place from the hospital.
Yeah. What you point out is the perfect explanation for why VAERS underreports to a magnitude we have no idea. I mean, we get estimates that it's, 40 times underreported or 100 times underreported. The Harvard Pilgrim study showed that only 1% of things were being reported. Mm-hmm. But doctors, one, don't know about it. Two, it's so cumbersome, it takes so long that most won't. If they've tried once, they usually realize, well, I'm not going to do that again. Sometimes it can take 2-3 hours to get a report in. But the even worse than that is the fact that you actually reported it and it disappeared. And I've heard this many, many times. So we have a real problem in our system that is specifically making sure things are not reported. And even when they are, that they can disappear. We have a very broken system. You are a living proof of extreme harm from this shot. And other than your willingness to share it, it would go unnoticed.
and platforms like yours are the only reason that we don't go unnoticed. Mainstream media has no desire to bring forward what is happening, despite hundreds of thousands, if not more, people that have bravely come forward and said, I am injured too, or I lost a loved one. It just goes unnoticed. We're invisible.
Yeah, it's tragic. I'm so sorry. So are you still basically in a wheelchair, or how's your walking coming along?
The first 3 months after my injury, I did have intense physical therapy, which is still going, and I have regained some function. I don't walk anywhere near normal. I have to utilize a walker cane in the house. I furniture walk, which is not safe, but I when I go out, I have a transport wheelchair and a scooter that I utilize. I have foot drop, so I drag my feet, and I have a hard time coordinating stepping. So I did have some gain back, but I am at what they consider maximum medically improved. So they don't expect me to gain any more back.
Oh boy. Myelin regeneration is a real challenge. I know you've probably researched this. You work in this field. But don't give up. I always feel like there's hope that the recovery may be excruciatingly painfully slow, but I would never give up hope. So as a pediatrician, some of the sickest kids I saw were, for example, at least as far as chronic illness goes, was severe autism, right? And tragically, our profession kind of goes, well, you got autism, we don't know what to do, good luck. And I'm wondering, you know, you experienced real severe consequences. I mean, you didn't die, but wow, the things you're going through and continue to go through, I would think the medical profession would be all in to help you. What has been your experience in the kind of help you've gotten?
My core set of doctors that I saw at the beginning are supportive of me. That being said, if it wasn't them who saw me in the hospital, then it was a different story. It was, we don't believe you. Mm. I had a hospitalization last year because I had an increase in my symptoms. And my neurologist asked for me to go. I went, but he was out of town. So I had a set of neurologists and doctors I didn't know. Despite the heavy documentation in my chart of my diagnoses, I had them come in to my room with me and my husband. And they looked at me and said, "What do you want us to do and make up a diagnosis? You are fine." And they wrote that I needed a psych consult.
Oh boy. You are intentionally causing foot drop. I mean, the absurdity of that.
I have autonomic dysfunction, foot drop, paraparesis. I have so many things. They, on my EMG, were able to insert needles into my legs far down into the joint junctions, and I didn't feel it. I can't make that up. But they seemed to think I did.
That makes me just plain old mad. That's crazy.
Us too, because now it's a part of my permanent record. And even though my primary neurologist put a note in disputing what they said, it's still there. So now I have a workers' comp case open, and my former employer, the doctor they hired, has latched on to that.
Oh, wow. This is so ridiculously wrong and evil that hopefully a good attorney can help you, because, oh my God, it just is beyond. How can people do this? I am so sorry. I know you're going to fight on, and I hope there's victory for you, at least in getting compensated. There's no compensation monetarily for what you've gone through. I mean, what you've lost is just about everything as far as your function, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So, go ahead.
I don't even have a proper bowel and bladder function.
And so, that makes life, and just traveling is hard, right? Without that. What would you, man, what would you like others to know based on what you've gone through now? What would you like people to know?
That's such a hard question, because there's so much. I think the main thing that I want to ensure people know is that if you are going through anything that you think might be related to the shot, reach out. You don't have to be silent, and we have such a huge support system there. My extended family, they know what we're going through, and it is okay to speak up and acknowledge what's going on. There are people out there that are cruel, but we have that support that we can help. We have a lot of connections, and there are things that can help. I recently started a detox from Root Brand. I wasn't able to do other detoxes because I needed micro dosing, and I'm already seeing such positive results. So there is always hope. Let us help you.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any specific places you would point people to start that search?
Can We Talk About It is a good resource. React 19 is a good resource. FLCCC is a good resource. And if you're on Facebook, just look up vaccine injury support and you will find many, many support groups. And I am always willing to help connect people if they want to get a hold of me. Just look me on Facebook, Danielle Baker, and I am always happy to help connect to people.
Oh, God bless you. That is so, so amazing. Despite everything you're going through, you're trying to do what you can to help others. I know this is a crazy question, but I'm just wondering, there's still people out there who are maybe they took one or they took two and they somehow are okay-ish or okay. And there's still some percentage of people who haven't taken any of these COVID jabs. What would you say to them or anybody actually, as far as getting any more?
Stop it. I never thought I would be in this position. And it will happen to you. It's just a matter of time. Your symptoms may not be as severe as mine, but they have shown that the more you get, the more susceptible you are to having problems, and they might be silent right now, but it's doing damage that you just are not aware of. And by the time you're aware, it'll be too late.
Thank you for that. That's one fact that you allude to, is you cannot take it out. Once you get it, it's in you. You can't take it out. Do you have any closing thoughts you want to leave with people?
Oh, just listen. This isn't a political problem. It's not. So many people want to make it a political issue, and it's a humanitarian crisis. We don't come forward to speak up because we want to endure the abuse by those who don't believe us. We come forward in hopes of helping people from not becoming what we are in our faith. But the only way that that's gonna happen is if you stop. We're in financial ruins. We have our life completely changed, and I don't want to see anybody else experience what we have.
I thank you so much for being on With the Wind, Science Revealed. You are actually doing exactly what the most you possibly could. I'm so grateful.
I really appreciate you having me on. It means the world to me and our family.
Well, thank you.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
So I just want to ask you if you're willing to share, what do you think has been the biggest, the hardest part for you as a mom? Is it your kids having to watch you go through what you go through? Is it not being able to do certain things? Just share what that's like. Take your time, sweetie.
That's the hardest part of this is my family. They are so used to me being on the go and being the mom that works and comes home and fixes dinner and helps with homework and helps transport to their activities. And now it all falls on my husband and our parents and our friends. My son, in particular, has had to grow up and he's lost his innocence. He is so afraid that I'm gonna fall. And he's always hollering for somebody to be around me in case something happens. And that's not fair. I can't drive. I don't know if I can tolerate going to any of his activities. They lost everything that they had in me.
They still have you. I think that's the thing, and whether it's, you know, that's the hardest part, is our children are affected by us and who we are and our well-being. And whether it's a vaccine injury, in your case, tragic injury, and or whether, you know, families, I coach some kids on wellness who've lost their parents, and especially moms, to cancer. It's, you're used to having that person there for you. That's who we are and who we want to be as a mom.
It's not fair to them. You know, I took it thinking I was doing what was best for my family and it ended up being the worst thing for my family.
No, I think that what's hard too, and thanks for sharing that, is that the intention and what we move forward with, and I think that's why your story is so important. And talking to these moms, any dads, anyone listening to this as a parent, you are a parent first. And if there's anything, any doubts, listen to that intuition, listen to what your heart and your soul is testing or is telling you. And that I think is probably the most important thing. And I know that's what you're saying now. What would you say to that mom that's maybe hearing this, but is like, yeah, I, how do I protect my family?
Now we are seeing a movement of agencies that are focusing more on a holistic approach and more opportunities for positions that you don't have to take the shot in order to retain your job or get a new one. There's a new company, Remen Nursing, who is taking that approach. They're a private membership. They're not governed by Medicare or insurance. And I would encourage people, if it comes down to a choice, don't do it. Because if you do, I wholly believe everybody is affected by it in some manner. You just don't know what that is. And it's not worth any loss to take it. There are so many opportunities now that there are different career paths. And in addition to that, apply for an exemption, apply for a religious exemption, because you don't have to belong to an organized religion in order to be granted that.
Just, I think that's what you offer, and thanks for saying that, because that's the piece, is there's a lot out there. I think what is so tragic is that you and so many people have had to suffer what you have, and whether it's, you know, people want to look at theirs or whatever it is hearing this. We don't know when you take that shot, like you said, maybe it'll affect you down the road. Maybe it's going to affect just your immune system. Who knows? Maybe some people aren't affected by it at all, but you don't know. And again, if us as parents or younger, you're so young, there's so much still ahead. And I honestly, I tell so many young people all the time, it's like, and even if you have taken some shots, you can stop. There's no reason to doing another booster. There's tons of help out there. There's tons of support out there. And the more and more that someone like yourself continues to speak up. So again, if a mom's listening to this or a dad's listening and says, you know, I love my job. I want my job. Speak up. Share Danielle's story, share all of, you know, reach out to info@drpaulapproved.com, and we can share lots of resources with you. And just going on with Width of the Wind and seeing all the different stories and things, share that with your boss, not just these extensions, but just say, this is what I'm feeling. And you know, thanks for maybe a safety net or thanks for all these different things, but that's not going to help me if something happens to me. And it's not going to help your children.
And it's not. So many people want to fear monger those who ought to not get their children shots. And that's all it is. It's fear mongering. Our children will be okay. But if you get them vaccinated, you can't reverse that damage that's done.
No, and especially now, there's so much proof of the damage and the death toll. And I just, why somebody, you know, it's very upsetting to me as a mom, and I bet to you too, to know that schools even are going to mandate a COVID vaccine to a 10 school when there is so much proof that it is not killing our children. And it's just so sad to see. So I want to thank you. I know that it takes a lot for you with your health now to be able to even talk to people. So thank you for giving your time to us.
Oh, I truly appreciate taking the time to talk to me, especially about our children, because we have to protect them with everything that we have. I am injured and I have my issues, but I am still a mama bear. And I will fiercely protect my children. And I want to help protect everybody's children. They shouldn't lose their innocence because of this.
All right, sweetie, take care, okay?
Thank you very much. And
I'm not going to let you go.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.